For the purpose of saving some time and a tiny bit of energy, we commonly use just the first letters of certain words when referring to a variety of phrases or titles. Consider, for example, the letter G. As those who are involved in education, there are those among us who make frequent reference, or at least occasional reference, to GPA with students, especially as the semester draws closer to its conclusion, who focus on achieving or maintaining a certain grade point average, knowing that a high GPA can assist in opening future doors of education. Those who keep an ear open to economic issues are aware that currently there are all sorts of concerns about the state of the global economy, and a set of letters that naturally comes into play in such discussions is GDP. Countries are rated according to their gross domestic product, and the greater the value of a country's market, the more leverage that country has in international affairs. Then there's another G abbreviation, of which I personally, at least, was completely unaware until earlier this year when I heard reference made to the GPI. It turns out that there is now, relatively recently developed, a new way of rating countries of the world. GPI stands for the Global Peace Index. And here's part of the definition as provided by Wikipedia. The Global Peace Index, GPI, is an attempt to measure the relative position of nations and regions' peacefulness. Factors examined by the authors include internal factors, such as levels of violence and crime within the country, and factors in a country's external relations, such as military expenditure and wars. This system of rating countries involves 158 nations, and in 2012, the nation which achieved the rank of the number one most peaceful place on earth is... Now let's talk about global peace from an entirely different perspective. For long before there was such a thing as a GPI, a Global Peace Index, the Lord Himself revealed just where on earth a person could find great peace. And that location is the earth itself, every square inch of it. The bold announcement which revealed this was made by the heavenly army on the night Jesus was born. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The first people to hear this dramatic declaration, of course, were some shepherds. And as they contemplated the various things that they had heard, it might well have struck them as odd that the angels announced that there is now peace on earth. Peace on earth when there was still such evident strife. Peace on earth when paranoid Herod was still on the throne and killed without hesitation. Peace on earth when there were Jewish zealots who were plotting to overthrow the unwanted Roman presence. Yes, peace. Not just peace in a region or in some remote enclaves, but peace on earth, the entire earth. The peace of which the angel spoke was not the type of peace that might most naturally come to mind, nor was it the type of peace between nations that's so desired, especially this time of year. Rather, it was the most important type of peace, peace between God and man. The angels announced a dramatic turnaround. They were announcing that something desperately needed was once again back in place, a peaceful relationship between God and human beings, a relationship that had been completely shattered many years prior. When God created the world, it was a perfectly peaceful place. The Creator and the creation interacted in complete harmony. But a harsh and dissonant discord erupted when human beings rebelled, broke God's commandment, and thereby brought itself under God's condemnation. By virtue of its sin, mankind forced God's hand, so to speak, to separate himself from us. The God who is holy was not and could not be at peace with a sinful, rebellious human race. Isaiah told the people of his day, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." And had things been left the way they were, we human beings would have faced a fearsome future of judgment and wrath. But the God of all peace was bound by his own deep love to go to whatever extreme measures were necessary to bridge the gulf and reestablish peace. And as a result, he sent his only son to the aid of the human race and to the joy of the angels. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The birth of Jesus signaled the reestablishment of peace. He was the bridger of the gulf, reconstructing the bridge between God and man with his cross. The purpose for which he was sent was to shed human blood in order to pay for human sin, and thereby to reestablish peace between himself and the fallen human race. So certain was the success of his mission that the angels announced it as a done deal. And so broadly encompassing was its effect that the angels announced how peace with God is now present everywhere. Since Jesus, the Lamb of God, took away the sin of the world, God is at peace with the entire planet. Every nation now ranks number one in God's global peace index. Paul wrote to the Colossians how it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The only problem that a person can now have with God comes into play if that person rejects the Son who won our salvation. If a person throws away the Prince of Peace, then that person forfeits for himself or herself all the benefits of his work. But from God's perspective, he is now at peace with sinners because of Christ's justifying work. Now, what about all the absence of peace and presence of turmoil that still exists here on planet Earth? What about all the discord between peoples and nations? Well, such discord is still present because sinful human nature still is present. The peace-destroying old Adam will be at work and making problems until the end of time, but only until the end of time. When Jesus returns in glory, all that is hateful, disruptive, dissenting, disruptive will be forever removed, and the peace that we now have with God will be reflected in completely harmonious interactions with all those who are saved. Yes, for the purpose of saving time and a little bit of energy, we often refer to things by simply using abbreviations like GPA and GPI. But for the purpose of saving mankind, Jesus extended the greatest amount of energy ever, making the greatest sacrifices of all time, with the result that atonement for our sin is now an accomplished fact. That was the work which Jesus successfully began in Bethlehem. Because of the birth of Christ, there is now peace on earth. The angels sang of it. We sing of it this morning in the form of hymn 94, stanza 1.